الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. The date, inshallah, is the 18th of Rabi' al-Akhir, or Rabi' al-Thani, 1418 Hijra, shortly before Salat al-Maghrib, corresponding with the 21st day of August. And the class is entitled, of course, Tas'alu Ahl al-Zikri, ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. And inshallah, we will continue with these questions and answers from the people who we respect and love for their knowledge and their piety. We don't glorify anyone along with Allah, and Allah is their hafiz. He's the one who will take into account. The first question that we're going to entertain this evening, inshallah, was posed to Sheikh Muqbil, who was one of the premier scholars of today. He is a young man, Abu Abdul Rahman Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, and he resides in Yemen. And he is a student of Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, and he himself now is a scholar of hadith, alhamdulillah. And this question that he was asked أم النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم هل يخفف عنها العذاب؟ The Prophet's mother صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم, will her punishment be lightened? Will she receive a punishment that is lightened? And the Sheikh answers the question by saying, لا أعلم دليلا على هذا, لكن قد قال بعضهم في أبوي النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم, إن الله أحياهما ثم بعد ذلك آمن به عن به. قال الحافظ ابن كثير في تفسير سورة التوبة, إن الله على كل شيء قدير, ولكن هذا لم يثبت. He answered the question by saying, I don't know of any evidence for this. That is, that the Prophet's mother, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله, that the Prophet Muhammad's mother, صلى الله عليه وسلم's punishment will be lightened. He said, but there are some people who say concerning the Prophet's parents that Allah will resurrect them, will bring them back to life, the two of them, his father and his mother, and after that they will believe, as it is mentioned by Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir in his tafsir of Surah At-Tawbah, surely Allah has power over everything. And but Sheikh Muqbil says at the end, وَلَكِنْ هَذَا لَمْ يَثْبُتْ, he says, but this has not been substantiated. And this is the way he answers the question. The second question that was asked of the Sheikh وَإِذَا كَانَ يَجُوزُ The question is, إِنَّ إِمَامَ الْمَسْجِدِ رَجُلٌ يُدَخِّنُ وَيَأْكُلُ قَاتًا وَيَسْتَمِعُ الْأَغَانِ وَفِي بَيْتِهِ مَلَاهِ مع أنه رجل أعمى مع أنه يحفظ كتاب الله عن ظهر قلبه فهل تجوز الصلاة بعده مع الدليل؟ He said that there is an imam of a masjid who is a man who smokes. The imam of the masjid smokes cigarettes. And he eats, and I don't know what this word is, so I'll leave it. But whatever it is, the word is, it must be something that's bad. He eats cotton. I don't know what it is. And he listens to music, the singing. And in his house are those things, those games of amusement that are prohibited at most and highly disliked at least. And that he also, in addition to this, or I should say along with this, this man, although that he's blind, he has memorized the Quran by heart. Is salah behind him permissible? And we, Sheikh, would like the Dalil for this. The Sheikh says, As-salatu min haythu hiya. He said, the prayer from this point is as it is. Fasihhu ba'dahu. And the salah behind him is valid. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ صَلُّوا فَإِنْ أَصَابُوا فَلَكُمْ وَلَهُمْ وَإِنْ أَخْطَأُوا فَلَكُمْ وَعَلَيْهِمْ. That they should pray. The Imam, I mean the Muslim should pray. And if those Imams who are leading in the Salah are correct, then it is for you and it is for them. And if they are incorrect, then it is for you and against them. So the Shaykh says, وَإِذَا كَانَتِ الصَّلَاةُ تَصِحُّ بَعْدَهُ فَهَلِ الْأَوْلَى أَن تَسْتَبْدِلَ غَيْرَهُ. If the salah is valid behind him, then is it more suitable that we switch to someone, substitute someone other than him? More suitable to switch to someone other than him? He says, "Now, yes." لأنه يعتبر فاسقا. لأنه يعتبر because he is considered a fasiq. إذا كان يستمع الأغاني الخليعة الماجنة. He says if he listens to this disgusting, corrupting singing song and music, والصلاة خلفه تعتبر تكريما له. That then the salah is going behind him is going to be considered an honor for him. An honor for him. فإذا وجدتم إماما غيره, if you find an imam other than him, فننصح أن يقدم غيره. Then we would give him advice that we advise him that person is better than him, meaning character. Go in the front and he should leave. أَمَّا إِذَا لَمْ تَجِدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. But if you don't find anyone except him, فَالصَّلَاةُ بَعْدَهُ صَحِيحَةٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. Then the salah behind him is valid and Allah is the one who speaks for it. question. Inna abi yursiluni ashtari dukhanan aw qatan aw amtana'a min al-dhahab amtana'a min al-dhahab aw amtana'u min al-dhahab fa hal ana 'azim lil walidayn am la. My father sends me, like meaning to send me to the store, something like that, to purchase cigarettes or cartons. Cartons, once again, is a word, I don't know what it is. He says, I don't really want to go. I try to keep myself from going. Am I disobedient to my parents or not? Sheikh says, Muqtil says, إِذَا لَمْ تَذْهَبْ فَلَا تُعُدْ عَاصِيًا خُصُوصًا إِذَا كُنْتَ تَرَى تَحْرِيمَ هَذِهِ فَالرَّسُولُ صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. He says, if you didn't go, you would not be considered disobedient specifically. And if you saw that this is a prohibition, I mean, if you realize that this is a prohibition, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this thing is haram, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that obedience is only in those things that are ma'ruf, that are known, meaning those things that don't go against the Quran and the Sunnah. Obedience is only in those things that are in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah. In other words, not those things that are in contradiction to the Quran and the Sunnah. Next question that was asked to Sheikh Muqbil. هل يجوز للمرأة أن تذهب من بلدة إلى بلدة أخرى لكي تتعالج مع ابن أختها وهو لم يبلغ سن الحلم حلم مع دليل؟ Is it permissible for a woman to go from one city to another, or one country or town to another, in order to get treatment, like medical treatment, and she has with her nephew who hasn't reached the age of puberty? We want to have the question answered with Dalil. Sheikh Muqbil says, إِذَا كَانَ مُمَيِّزًا فَلَا بَثَّ بِهَذَا وَهُوَ يُعْتَبُرُ مُمَيِّزًا الْغَالِبُ عَلَى مَنْ بَلَغَ 12 سنة أو 13 سنة أن يكون مميزا فلا بد أن تسافر معه إذا أمنت الفتنة. والرسول صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يقول لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر إلا مع ذي محرم. He said, if this boy is of the age of discretion, then it's no problem. Because he will be considered the age of discretion, and most cases, when he reaches 12 or 13 years of age, that's when he will be considered mumayyiz, at the age of discretion. Then it won't be any problem for her to travel with him, if she is secured and safe from fitna. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's not permissible for a woman who believes in Allah on the last day that she travel except with a mahram. This is the way the Shaykh answers the question. Question. next question is asked of Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani. And the first question that was asked of him is, هل يجوز للمكتبة أن تبيع الجرائد والمجلات التي فيها صور الخليعة وأخبار كاذبة ومدح للمنافقين والفاسقين؟ وهل يجوز لها أن تبيع كتبا تشتمل على عقائد وأفكار وفقه فقهه لا يتفق مع ما كان عليه السلف الصالح لكي تروج هي كتبها السلفية؟ Is it permissible for the bookstores to sell newspapers and magazines of which have in them, in contained in these magazines and newspapers, filthy pictures, pornographic pictures, or pictures with women, not pornographic, but just not covered properly, or slanderous information, lies, things like this, things that are not true, or things that in the magazines or newspapers that praise the munafiqeen and the fasiqeen, that praise the hypocrites and those people who are living evil lives, living corrupt lives. And is it also permissible to ask Sheikh Nasr Al-Albani, Abdullah, is permission permissible for those bookstores to sell books which contain the beliefs and concepts and understanding of those people who are not in line in agreement with that which a Salaf al-Salih believes and has the ideas of and concept of, in order to come back to it, inshallah. But we have the general idea. The answer the Sheikh gave is, المجلات التي فيها صور خليعة لا يجوز التردد في عدم بيعها فبيعها حرام. He says, for the magazine of which have pornographic material in them, or pictures of people who are not dressed properly, it's not, he says, there should be no hesitation whatsoever in thinking about selling them. There should be no hesitation whatsoever in selling them. It is not permissible to sell them. فبيعها حرام. Selling them is absolutely haram. أما كتب الفقه الأخرى, as for the book of fiqh, فلا بد لمن أراد أن يقف عند حدود الشرع فإنه يجب عليه أن يكون على علم بما في هذه الكتب من آراء وأحكام وأفكار. He says, as for the books of fiqh, then it is necessary for whoever wants to to stand at the limits of the Sharia, then it will be necessary for him that he should do it with ilm, to do it with knowledge, to do it with knowledge for those things that are found inside these books, of those opinions and those different rulings and those ideas. وحين إذن فالحكم للغالب مما فيه إن كان الغالب هو الصواب فيجوز بيعها. He says, if they find in some of those books those books of fiqh that are sold in the stores that are not in agreement with the books of the Salaf al-Saleh, he says, then the hukum would be, for the most part, that if you find things in there that are correct, then it's permissible to sell them. And if not, فَلَا يَجُوزُ إِطْلَاقُ الْقَوْلِ بَيْعُهُمَا or بَيْعُهَا بِبَيْعِهَا. He says, then if not, then it's not permissible absolutely to sell them. وَلَمْ يَجِدِ الْمُسْلِمُ كِتَابًا عَدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ خَالِيًا مِنْ خَطَرٍ. And it will never be for a Muslim will never be able to find a book, and a Muslim will never be able to find a book except the book of Allah that is free of any error. That is free of any error. فإذا قيل بعدم الجواز بيع أي كتاب فيه خطأ فحينئذ لا يجوز بيع أي كتاب. He says, if it was said that it wouldn't be permissible to sell a book because it has mistakes in it, then if that's the case, at that time, then it wouldn't be permissible to sell any book at all. Any book. وَيَنْظُرُ لِقَضِيَّةِ بِمَنَاظِرِ الْغَالِبِ. He says, and what we need to do is look at this particular case of what is going to be found in it in the majority of the cases. In other words, what the Shaykh is saying is that if you find that there are books that have some of the concepts in it that are not correct, then we should point out those mistakes and not just stop those books from being sold, even though they may have some corrupt things inside of them that are not in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way that the people of the past understood it and practiced it. The next question. Next question is for the Sheikh Nasir al-Albani. إذا دخلت المسجد والصف الأول قد اكتمل واكتمل فهل تستحب شخصا يصلي معك أم تصلي وحدك. If I were to enter into the masjid, or if you were to enter into the masjid, and you found that the first row was already filled up, would it be highly recommended for a person to pray with you, or you pray by yourself? The answer is, لو صح حديث الجبر للرجل من الصف الأول كي لا يصلي وحده في الصف الثاني لوجب القول به ولكنه لم يصح إسنادا كما بينته في إرواء الغليب وسلسلة الضعيفة المجلة الثاني. فما دام أن هذا الحديث لم يصح فإن الداخل إلى المسجد والصف أمامه قد اكتمل عليه أن ينضم للصف الذي بين يديه, وهذا في غالب الأحيان في هذا الزمان الذي انصرف فيه جماهير المسلمين عن التراصي في الصفوف لأن غالبهم يبتعدون عن التراصي, فإن وجد الصف كاملا فلا يعدم أن يجد فراغا ولو بالإشارة إلى المصلي الذي يريد أن يقف بجانبه أن يوسع أو يوسع. فإذا لم يتمكن من ذلك إما بسبب التراص الناس في الصفوف أو بسبب طعنة بعض المصلين الذين لا يلين أحدهم بيده أو منكبه لهذا الذي يريد أن يصم للصف بجانبه, إذا لم يتمكن وقف في الصف الثاني وحده وصلاته صحيحة, ذلك لأن قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صلاة لمن صلى في صف وحده. Shaykh says, if the narration of pulling a person back was authentic, pulling him from the first row was authentic, so that that person could pray, that person could not pray by himself, and second row, and we in a statement or an affirmative would have already been signed. No, and then that means that opinion would be obligatory. But there is no authentic narration for this. No authentic narration with an authentic change for this, as I have explained in my book called The Wild and Baleen, and also in the Sahih Hadith, which is in the second volume. As long as the Hadith is not authentic, then the person who enters to the masjid and enters to the road, and in front of him, the road has, or he enters into the masjid, and the road in front of him is complete, then, if he will join the road that is, he will join the road that is in front of him, it's supposed to be. So, have a lot of ahem, but in most cases, in our particular time, you'll find that the large majority of the Muslims have gone away from closing in the ranks in the road. Because so for the most part, you'll be able to find the Muslim people have abandoned closing in tight in the road. You won't find the road being complete. I don't know what you're saying. Right? So, there won't, in most cases, you won't have the problem of looking for a space. Because, and with this, if the person made a mistake, they should be taken from something, worth ways or something like this. The person's praying, you can call them back, so they can stand next to them, then he would guide you. He would end up widening the space, because you have that person leave that place, and he would make a gap, in other words. And as for the situation, that there's no joining together the road, making the parab, making the road tight, or because the Muslims are not standing next to each other, shoulder to shoulder by their hands, by their arms and their shoulders, putting their feet together, because then this allows the person to join the road to the person on the side of the road from the facing the road on the road. If this is not possible for the person to stand in that second row by himself, if this is not possible, then the person will stand in the second row by himself, and the salah will be complete. And that is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there's no salah for the one who prays in the row by himself. إِنَّمَا هُوَ فِي حُدُودِ الْقُدْرَةِ وَالِاسْتِطَاعَةِ لِسَائِرِ الْعِبَادَاتِ. Because this is only talking about the person who has used all of his abilities. He's done everything that he or she can to do this. Not to stand by the prayer. فَنَحْنُ نَعْلَمُ مَثَلًا أَنَّ الْوُقُوفَ فِي صَلَاةِ الْفَرِيضَةِ رُكْنٌ. Because we know, for example, that standing in the salat, the obligatory salat, is a pillar. فَإِنْ صَدَّ قَاعِدًا وَهُوَ يَسْتَكِيعُ الْقِيَامِ لَا تُصِحُّ صَلَاتُهُ. And we also know that the person prays standing while he's sitting, while he has the ability to stand, his salat is not valid. وَلَكِنْ إِنْ عَجَزَ عَنِ الْقِيَامِ صَلَّى قَاعِدًا. But then if he has inability to stand, then he prays sitting, كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, as the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, صل قائما فإن لم تستطيع فقاعدا فإن لم تستطيع فعلى جنبك. The Prophet عليه السلام said, pray standing, and if you're not able, then sitting, and if you're not able, then on your side. وكذلك أيضا شأن منفرد
يصلي خلف الصف وحده في حالة كونه لم يتمكن من الانضمام إلى الصف الذي بين يديه. And when it's happening, inshallah, in the next business, amen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah rabb al-alamin. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulih al-amin. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi al-ma'in. We'd like to continue with ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. The Sheikh says, in a nutshell, in what he said, that if the person wasn't able to join the row which is in front of him, in the hadith, there's no salah for the one who is behind the first row by himself, will be considered for him, is considered for that particular person who has the ability, according to Islamic rulings, Islamic laws, to find that space, or not to find that space. He says, كَمَا يَفْعَلُ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَبِخَاصَةٍ مِنَ الْمُؤَذِّنِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَنْضَمُّونَ إِلَى الصُّفُوفِ. He says, specifically, we're talking about, he says, a lot of people, and specifically, the mu'adhin are those who don't join the road. فَإِنَّمَا يُصَلِّ أَحَدُهُمْ بِمَكَانٍ وَحْدَهُ على سدة فهؤلاء هم الذين يتوجه إليهم القول. He says, you find some muezzins throughout the Muslim world and even here who will pray by themselves. After they finish the adhan, they will be in a place by themselves off to the side. And these are the people who we're directing this statement to. أما رجل دخل المسجد وحاول أن ينضم إلى الصف فلم يتمكن ولم يأتي أحد لينضم إليه فهو يصلي وحده ولا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. وهذا رأي الشيخ الإسلامي ابن تيمية. He says, as for the person who enters the masjid and he tries to join the row and he's not able and no one comes to join it with him, then he prays by himself, and Allah does not put a responsibility on a soul more than it can bear. And this is the opinion, he said, of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. The next question, ما حكم التلفزيون اليوم? What is the legal ruling pertaining to the television today? Jawab. The answer is, التلفزيون اليوم لا شك أنه حرام لأن التلفزيون مثل الراديو والمسجل هذه كغيرها من النعم التي أحاط الله بها عباده كما قال وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها فالسمع نعمة والبصر نعمة والشفتان واللسان ولكن كثيرا من هذه النعم تصبح نقما على أصحابها لأنهم لم يستعملوها فيما أحب الله أن يستعملوها. فالراديو والتلفزيون والمسجل أعتبرها من النعم ولكن متى تكون من النعم? We'll stop here in the middle of the paragraph to try to translate the first part. The Sheikh says, the television today, no doubt it is haram. He says, because the television, like the radio and the tape recorder, and things other than this, are ni'mah, of which Allah has encompassed His creatures with, or surrounded His creatures with, has showered His creatures with, as he says in his book, if you were to count the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to enumerate them. The Shaykh says, so hearing is a ni'mah, and seeing is a ni'mah, and the tongue, the two lips and the tongue is a ni'mah, meaning a blessing. But most of these things that are blessings have become curses and have become punishments on their possessors. because they don't utilize them the way that Allah loves them to be utilized. So the radio and the TV and the tape recorders, I consider them a ni'mah, a blessing. But وَلَكِنْ مَتَى تَكُونُ مِنَ النِّعْمَةِ. He said, but when do they become blessings? When do they become blessings? حِينَمَا تَوَجَّهَ الْوَجْهَةُ النَّابِعَةُ لِلْأُمَّةِ. He says that they become blessings when their direction is, when their utilization is directed towards those things which will be a benefit for the ummah. التَلَفِزِيُونَ الْيَوْمِ بِمِئَةٍ تِسْعَةٍ وَتِسْعُونَ فِسْقٌ. He said the television today has 199 evils. خِلَاعَةٌ فَجُورٌ أَغَانِي مُحَرَّمَةٌ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. He says it has pornography. It has wickedness and haram singing, etc. بالمئة واحد يعد أشياء قد يستفيد منها بعض الناس فالعبرة بالغالب. He said, and the 101, which those things are exposed to us, those things that some of the people only benefit from, they are considered to be, those things that they don't benefit from are considered to be in the majority. فَحِينَمَا تُوجَدُ دَوْلَةٌ مُسْلِمَةٌ حَقًّا وَتَضَعُ مَنَاهِجَ عِلْمِيَّةً مُفِيدَةً لِلْأُمَّةِ حِينَئِذٍ لَا أَقُولُ التَّلَفِزِيُونَ جَائِزٌ بَلْ أَقُولُ هُوَ وَاجِبٌ. He says, so at that time, if you find a Muslim government, that's a Muslim government or country in reality, a real Muslim government, that places that meaning to air or give or present beneficial, scholastic programs for the Ummah, he says, then, and of course he's addressing the Muslim countries, how much more than our Muslim countries, he said, حين إذن لا أقول, he said, then I will not say the television is permissible. I would say that the television is wajib. If the television is not permissible, but rather the أقولوا هو واجب, that the television would be obligatory. In other words, if it has benefit. The next question is from Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi. Where he's asked the question in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah in verse 25, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Azwajum mutahhara, pure mate. The full verse is, I believe the verse is, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ بِكُفْرِهِ مُتَشَابِهَةً وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Verse 25. The verse that the Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi is mentioning is وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And give glad tidings to those who believe and do righteous deeds, that for them will be gardens under which rivers flow. Every time they will be provided with a fruit therefrom, They will say, this is what we provided, this is what we were provided with before. And they will be given things in resemblance. And they shall have therein azwajum mutahharatum, pure meat. And they will abide therein forever. The Shaykh Mustafa al-Adawi, habibullah, he was asked the question, azwajum mutahhara, pure meat, mutahharatum min mada, what are they purified from? What are they pure from? The Shaykh gives the answer, mutahharatum min al-hayd, والبول والبزاق والنفاس والمخاط والمخاط والغائط والأحقاد والضغائن إلى غير ذلك. He says that they are pure from menses and urine and spittle and postnatal bleeding and mucus, otherwise known as snot. Well, gha'id, and we should say it like that because some people, maybe it'll even help them better, because to know that their mate won't have any snot, sometimes your husband or your wife, you know, their noses, you know, this is the reality. It shows you how one of the things we describe for example. Well, gha'id, or stool, well, ahqad, or rancor, well, dagha'im. And dagha'im, I'm not absolutely sure what it is, but whatever it is, it won't be there in our pure meat. إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, and things other than that. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَوَّلُ زَمْرَةٍ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى سُورَةِ الْقَمْرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ وَالَّذِينَ عَلَى إِثْرِهِمْ كَأَشَدُّ كَوْكَبٍ إِضَاءَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ عَلَى قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ لَا إِخْتِلَافُ بَيْنَهُمْ وَلَا تَبَاغَدُوا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ زوجتان كل واحدة منهما يرى مخ ساقها مخ ساقها وراء من وراء لحمها من الحسن يسبحون الله بكرة وعشية لا يسقمون ولا يمتخطون ولا يبصقون آنيتهم الذهب والفضة وأمشاطهم الذهب ووقود مجامرهم الألوة. The hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this hadith, inshallah, I believe presented in the translation of the Quran by Muslim Khan, and if not, I will not attempt to translate it. InshaAllah. No. Anyway, inshaAllah, that to the best of my ability, this narration is saying that the first group that will enter the Jannah will be have the images of the moon on a full, on a night that is the moon is full, and they will have from their they are those who have marks that are brighter than the brightest stars, the brightest light of the brightest stars. Their heart will be the heart of one person, and there won't be any differences between them, and they won't have any rancor or hatred, any one of them from among them. And they'll have two eyes. Each one of them, you'll be able to see the marrow from the shank of her leg. And from behind it, from behind the skin, behind the flesh, it will be made beautiful. وَيُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّهَ بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيًّا and they will glorify Allah morning and night. They won't have any, I'm not absolutely sure what this first word means, but I know the rest of it means they won't have any mucus, any spittle. Their vessels will be of gold and silver. Their combs will be made The next question posed to Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi. لماذا قيل في الآية الكريمة ذهب الله بنوره؟ Why is it in this noble ayah in the Surah Al-Baqarah verse 17 that Allah says He will take away their light? ولم يقل ذهب. We don't want to mess with it because this is a grammatical issue. It has to do with the language. The next question is, inshallah, the next question that was asked of the Shaykh is, هل شاركت حواء بالأكل من الشجرة? Was حواء, commonly known as Eve, rahimahullah, a participant in eating from the tree? Did Eve participate with Adam alayhi salatu wassalam wa ala nabiyyina kathalik in eating from the tree? Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi says, la shakka fi dhalika, no doubt about that. Wa qad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is Surah Al-A'raf, دلاهما بعروه فلما ذاقا شجرة بدت لهما سوآتهما وطفقا يخصفان عليهما من ورق الجنة وناداهما ربهما ألم أنهاكما عن تلكما الشجرة وأقول لكما إن الشيطان لكما عدو مبين قال ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. فأكل منها فبدت. That they ate from it. That they both ate from it. So he misled them with deception. Then when they tasted that which was hidden from them of their shame. Their private parts became manifest to them, and they began to stick together the leaves of paradise over themselves in order to cover their shame. And their Lord called out to them, saying, "Did I not forbid you that tree, and tell you, surely Satan is an open enemy unto you?" Then they said to the second verse, "O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. If you forgive us not, and bestow not upon us your mercy." We shall certainly be of the loose. And the Shaykh ends it by saying, and Allah knows best. Then the Shaykh has asked the question, Shaykh Mustafa Al-Adawi, ما هي الكلمات التي تلقاها آدم من ربه فتاب عليه? What are those words that Adam learned from his Lord? The Shaykh answers by saying, أهل العلم في بيان هذه الكلمات أقوال أمثلها وأقواها
Wallahu A'lam. He says, from the scholars of Islam, from the people of knowledge, there's an explanation on these words. And their opinions are, some of them alike, some of them are similar, and some of them are strong. Wallahu A'lam, and Allah knows best. هي قوله مع زوجه. It is a statement with his wife, of which we just read. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. O our Lord, we have transgressed the bounds on ourselves, we have wronged ourselves. If you don't forgive us and have mercy on us, then we will be of the losers. Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 23. So the Sheikh says, وَذَٰلِكَ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ نَادَاهُمَا بَعْدَ أَكْلَهُمَا مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدَ أَكْلِهِمَا مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ. He says, that is because Allah عز وجل called them both after the two of them ate from the tree. كما قال سبحانه, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that verse we just read, Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 22. So their Lord called out to them, did I not forbid you that tree and tell you, surely Satan is an open enemy to you? And so the Sheikh goes on, he says that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, they said, O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves, and if you don't forgive us, then and have mercy on us, then we will be of the losers. And the Shaykh goes on, he says, so their statement, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنْفُسَنَا, O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves, عَقَبُ عِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّهُمَا, is after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repudiated them with flame. It's after this. The Shaykh goes on, but he was asked the question, مَا مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. What is the meaning of Allah's statement in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 37, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and his Lord pardoned him, his Lord accepted his repentance. What is the meaning of this? The Shaykh says, أصل التوبة الرجوع, that the origin of a tawbah is returning. But التوبة من آدم رجوعه عن المعصية. So the tawbah of Adam is his returning or leaving off or abandoning disobedience. وهي من الله تعالى رجوعه عليه بالرحمة. And Allah's tawbah to him is him returning him to the mercy of Allah. والتواب الذي والتواب الذي كلما تكررت توبة العبد تكرر قبوله, قال ابن الجوزي في تفسيره زاد المسير. He said, and the tawbah of the one who repeats the tawbah is the tawbah of the slave, which is repetitious in the acceptance of it, as Ibn Jawzi said. In other words, that the person who makes the tawbah over and over again, the tawbah of that slave who makes it, then his tawbah will be accepted, inshallah, as Ibn Jawzi says in his tafsir called Zad al-Masir. The next question that the Shaykh was asked, is صُمٌ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 18, that they are deaf, dumb, and blind. The question is, they're deaf, dumb, and blind of what?
answer that the Shaykh gave is summun, they're deaf, and istima'i al-haqq, from hearing the truth. And in the footnote, the Shaykh says, لأنهم لا لم يقبلوه وإذا لم يقبلوه فكأنهم لم يسمعوه والصمم الانسداد. He says, and that is because they don't accept it. And if and since they didn't accept it, it is as though they don't hear, because deafness is like insidad. Insidad. Insidad means like a blockage. Like you have a blockage. Some type of, like something that's a blockage. Like a roadblock. He says, so the summon, their deafness is not hearing the truth. Meaning not accepting the truth. Their bukum, their dumbness, is عن النطق بالخير والإيمان فهم لا يتكلمون به. Is their deafness from being able to say those things that are good, those things that are of the faith. And this is the reason why they're not able to say it. And the عميون, their blindness, لا بصائر لهم يميزون بها بين الحق والباطل. This is in connection with what we said last night, that their blindness is that they don't have any vision to be able to distinguish between the truth and the falsehood. Then the Shaykh says, and we'll end it here inshaAllah, فَلَمَّا كَانُوا غَيْرُ مُنْتَفِعِينَ بِسَّمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ وَأَفْئِدَتِهِمْ وُصِفُوا بِأَنَّهُمْ صُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ وهذا كما قال الله سبحانه وجعلنا لهم سمعا وأبصارا وأفئدة فما أغني عنهم سمعهم ولا أبصارهم ولا أفئدتهم من شيء إذ كانوا يجحدون بآيات الله وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون. And this is Surah Al-Ahqaf. Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse 26. The Shaykh says that since they don't have any benefit from their hearing and from their seeing and from their tongue and from their heart, they describe as being deaf, dumb, and blind. He says, and this as Allah has said in Surah Al-Ahqaf, chapter 46, verse 26, وجعلنا لهم سمعا وأبصارا وأفئدة فما أغنى عنهم سمعهم ولا أبصارهم ولا أفئدتهم من شيء إذ كانوا يجحدون بآيات الله وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون. And we have assigned them the faculties of hearing, ears, seeing, eyes, and heart. But their hearing, seeing, and their hearts avail them nothing, since they used to deny the ayat of Allah, and they were completely encircled by that which they used to mock at. So the Shaykh goes on. He says, also as it is in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 179, as Allah says, لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها ولهم أعين لا يبصروا بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها. And they have hearts wherewith they understand not, they have eyes wherewith they see not, and they have ears wherewith they hear not, meaning they hear not the truth. And the Shaykh doesn't bring the end of the ayah, but the end of the ayah I think is very appropriate, where he says, and in conclusion, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَالِفُونَ. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are like cattle. No, even more astray than cattle. Those, they are the heedless ones. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not make us of those people who are like cattle, or less than cattle, or more astray than cattle. We ask Allah to keep us away from being deaf, dumb, and blind. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to allow us to be able to ask the scholars, ask the people of knowledge when we don't know, these questions from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.